plate a potential nugget.
And you and Gary also talk about setting out 4 goals for the Indian cricket team when you took on the responsibility. It was interesting to see that 2 of them were outcome-related and 2 process-related, right? The 4 which I read in your book were becoming the number one test team in the world. That was number 1. Winning the 2011 ICC World Cup, that was number 2. Creating a happy team environment was number 3. And helping players become better people was number 4. And it's interesting, 1 and 2, one is, it's easy to understand their outcomes. Everyone's sure, everyone's striving to be the best team and win the big competitions. But give us a sense of how you ended up with 3 and 4 as well.
It's interesting that you point out now that there were 2 outcome and 2 process goals. We certainly didn't set them out deliberately in that way. In order to achieve those very clear metrics of becoming the number one team and winning the World Cup, there were certain things that needed to happen to set ourselves up with the best possible chance of that transpiring. If I think the 2 goals, one was of the goal 3, happy team, was sort of team or environment or culture related. So that related to the collective. And the 4th goal, individuals being better people, was very individually focused. That just comes from the real belief that, or the buy into, for example, what I think Peter Drucker is attributed to saying that, culture eats strategy for breakfast. In this modern day of science and technology, everyone has access, certainly in a sporting environment, to the same data, the same video analysis, the same technologies, the same training information, the same dietary information. So there's no real competitive advantage to be gained through the sports sciences, I don't think, as there was maybe 15 years ago when one team was using video analysis and one wasn't, or one team had a fitness trainer and another team didn't, or one team had made use of a very good biokineticist or chiropractor and preventing injuries, and the other teams only had physiotherapists who were treating injuries. So 15 years ago, one could gain a competitive advantage through the science, sports science. Today, through the internet, everyone has access to that, and that almost should be a given. So the advantage, Gary and I certainly believed, is now is in systems that get the best out of individuals. And one gets that through creating an environment or a culture within the team that really gets the best out of people, that allows them to be themselves, allows them to fully express their talents, and removes any of the naturally occurring obstacles to expression, to creativity, to innovation, to performance that happen in almost all professional environments. And if I were just to take a quick step back and give some context to that answer, is in the time that between when I qualified as a business coach in about 2003, and Gary pulled me into the work with the Indian team 2007, I spent that 4.5 years or so largely working with individual athletes as a mental coach. And it was fascinating when I went into that path. I thought I would be helping these athletes take their game to the next level, because everyone says the mental game is so important, and if you can the mentally fitter or stronger you are, the better you're going to perform. But I ended up being disappointed in that journey, because I would say, if I were just to do a thumb suck guess, that possibly 80% of the conversations I had with athletes weren't about taking their performance to the next level. It was actually about having a conversation to try and get them back to feeling okay, or to there not being problems or obstacles to them performing just at their current best, never mind moving to the next level. And if I were to take those 80% of conversations, there were 2 main areas of conversation. One was off-field or non-sports related distractions. Are a significant obstacle to professional athletes' performance. Things like financial problems, problems with their partners, wives, girlfriends, illnesses in the family, fights with friends, things that happen away from the sporting environment, and there's no real place in this day and age in the sporting environment to actually process that or have those conversations. So those often would just get stuck in players' heads, and particularly players who are on tour for a long period of time. If they're having an argument or fight with their wife or their partner, very seldom they actually bring that conversation into the team environment. So they just carry that burden for the duration of the tour. And the other obstacle, other than off-field distractions, is environmental or factors within the team culture that is holding them back from performing at their highest potential. And those, the common things that players would bring up would be things like, I think we're training too hard or too long and I'm too tired, or I think the training we're doing is not really helping my game. If I was able to do things differently, I think I'd improve faster. Things like, I don't like the way the coach is speaking to me, or I'm being asked to play a role that is actually not playing to my strengths. If I was given another role, I think I'd be able to deliver a lot better for the team. Often it was cliques or fractures in the team where players were being marginalized or sidelined or victimized in some way within the team environment. And again, these were all obstacles to performance in that they were inhibiting a player's full expression of their talent and experience in the environment. So that informed to a large degree the strategy that we came up with, the goals we had with the Indian cricket team. We knew we had to create a team environment with nothing happened that would make a player unhappy, would be asking them to do things that they didn't want to do or weren't good at doing or that worked against them, number one. So to remove the obstacles, which would then just allow their natural talent, their natural personality, their natural flair to come out. So at least we could be getting the best out of individuals. And again, research suggests that in most group environments or sport and team environments, both in sport and businesses, there are a number of self or internally imposed obstacles to success. So the happy team environment spoke to, we want to create an environment where there aren't internal obstacles blocking players' expression personally and on their expression on the sports field and the practice grounds. And the other point, you know, players being better people, that's, you know, that's even a longer answer, but essentially, the more grounded, the more secure an individual is within who they are as a person. In other words, the higher their self-esteem is independent of results, whether they do well or do badly, whether they're dropped or selected, if they've got very high levels of self-esteem, that removes some very natural mental obstacles to success as well. And if I were to, again, the two biggest obstacles to success around the mental game in all professional sports, I would say, is number one is pressure and number two is fear of failure. Both of those are directly attached to results. Pressure being coming from the amount of importance we place in a result. The more important a result we feel a result is, the more pressure we feel. And fear of failure, again, the more the fear of failure is, the more likely someone is to tighten up, to choke, and to actually then fail. So, and both pressure and fear of failure is directly related to results, where the individual is relating their self-worth or their self-value, I need to do well, or I really need not to fail. And normally that is at a deeper psychological level. It's because of how it makes them feel as a person. But if you can have someone be completely secure within who they are as a person, then it's not that important to win, and it's not that important or that damaging if they lose or happen to drop a catch. It's okay. They understand it's okay. It's part of the game. So that individual, and there are, you know, individuals who you'll find that the more secure they are within themselves, the less mental pressures or mental obstacles or mental problems they have in the sporting environment. And the less secure someone is, the more they have psychological or mentally related errors that they make on the sports field because they're desperate to win or they really don't want to make a mistake or do badly, which actually forces that error.
I was recently reading the book Atomic Habits by the author James Clear. In the book, he uses the phrase, "We don't raise to the level of our goals. We fall to the level of our systems." I'm excited to share that I'll be interviewing him in a few days on the podcast. Do tune in if you're keen to know more about building the habits that you want and breaking the habits that are counterproductive. In the coaching work I do, I try and ensure that the discussions are anchored around who the leader is becoming, not just what the leader is doing, which is often visible from the outside. Too many people focus on outcomes without adequate emphasis on the underlying, which ensures the results. Paddy speaks about the importance of self-esteem. You might all do the training and the preparation ahead of an event, but if your head is not in the right place, you may not be able to perform at the level you want. Thank you for listening. For more podcast content, please visit playtopotential.com. The website also has content organized by specific themes in the curated playlist section. And to know more about the leadership and transition advisory work I do, please visit the About section at playtopotential.com or transitioninsight.com. Thank you.